listening to 680 CJOB.
Greg Macklin, Brett McGarry this afternoon, 680 CJOB. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday. We're so lucky in this building. We work with Jeff Currier, going to Regina to be a part of the celebration of the 100 years of Mosaic Stadium, their last season at Taylor Field for Saskatchewan Roughriders. Maybe it's not 100 years, but I know it's their last season. They made it look like they were moving to Saskatoon or something. Not like the Jets were moving when they moved to Phoenix. And then, of course, Bob Irving, the legendary voice of the Blue Bombers, Richard Kluche, and Tom Milroy. You just bump into Tom Milroy out in the hallway, Hall of Fame broadcaster. We're so lucky here. I was telling Tom, Brett, last night, my son's supposed to go to bed at 8 o'clock. And at 9:30, I texted home to my mother-in-law. I said, Alexander's still in bed. She's like, oh, no, he's been down here watching the end of the game. And then he gets up this morning and says, Dad, Patrick Laine going to change his name? I said, what do you mean? He says, well, Hattrick Laine. Hattrick.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's clever.
Yeah, at 7 in the morning from a 10-year-old.
Whimsical play on words.
Very clever. And so when I hear him say stuff like that, I figure he's on the right path. But he's got... Alexander's one of these guys that has such a... He's a complete person, complete personality. And the reason I bring this up is because we're joined in the studio by Lorraine Mischuk, and we're talking about occupational therapy. Lorraine, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in. You take a real whole person approach, and the idea that if one part of you is broken, it affects the rest of us. Maybe break down the four different parts and how they're all interconnected.
Thank you very much. And firstly, thank you for the opportunity. As an occupational therapist, and I've been an OT for coming up 30 years, and we're probably the quietest healthcare profession on the planet.
That's an interesting way to put it. just because you're in the background, or you just don't boast about what you do, or why do you say that, the quietest?
Some reason we don't talk about what we do. And actually, October is National Occupational Therapy Month.
Right.
And so it really prompted me to reach out to the public. Because often we're so much concerned working with our individual clients, again, with this whole person approach, which I'll break down in just a moment, but to reach out to the public to actually tell the people what we do. Because when you're in your day-to-day, we get so focused on our individual client work. And so occupational therapists are actually the only healthcare profession that provide that whole person approach. Because we're all trained in our areas of expertise, and OTs bring the whole person to the table. So whether you have a physical injury or a brain injury, or it's affected your thinking in terms of your cognition, there's a mental health component, so it affects our emotions. And that fourth component to complete the wheel is spirituality, which is not religion, but it's what is the individual's values, their personal goals, their values, what makes them tick. That's been compromised now as well.
Your worldview and where you fit in that is very bit much a part of that.
Exactly. And so we all will encounter a time in our lives where we're encountered with an injury or illness of some type, and it's how will that affect us.
So can you maybe give us an example of an injury or an illness where someone like yourself would be called in to help?
Absolutely. Yesterday, I was called in to meet with an individual, and she's actually a director of an organization that employs, I believe it's 3,000 employees, and she recently suffered a concussion. And so now there's no visible physical signs months later following her concussion, but certainly there are functional signs, i.e. remembering. Being able to concentrate and pay attention, exposure to light. And so with our very high-level position, now this is a very compromising situation for her. She's starting to return to work. And so as she's now re-entering the workplace, often individuals become stuck as to how do I now approach my job? And so an OT will work with them to strategize, how do I learn to do it differently? They might need to have some additional tools or equipment so they are actually able to do what they're required to do. So with this case, being that it's a very high-level position, so we're very much working on organizing and planning tools and strategies to help them remember so they don't forget their meetings, They are focused on one task at a time, so they're not distracted, just to give a few simple examples.
So it's not just a matter of helping the therapy and healing that broken bone or that bad hip or that brain injury. It's how that cascades into other parts of your life and the different strategies in order to implement them so that you don't fall into a depression or that you are separated from the rest of your coworkers because you're not integrating. You're really helping us integrate back into the workplace following one of these injuries.
Yes, and thank you so much for pointing that out, because often it's that mental health piece that is forgotten. Think of ourselves. If we crushed our ankle and our job requires us to stand in a manufacturing company and we work as a team, and we're very much team oriented, there's pressure in terms of timing to be able to get out our product. And so now I'm concerned, how am I not just going to be able to do my part of my job task, but how does that affect everyone else? And it's very much, it's those fears, those worries and concerns that will lead to those early depressive symptoms. And so how do we talk to employees that are returning to work that have an injury or illness?
Now, you used to do corporate work, right? So did part of your job of working for a company, not only working with, say, Brett's coming back from that bad shoulder, did your work involve educating the people that maybe Brett was working around or working with so that they understand and understood what Brett might be dealing with?
Actually, I still do, because I have my own private practice for coming up 20 years. So I work with individuals, but I also work with organizations and employers. And so when I work with an employer, I'll work with all levels. And so there may be some system changes at a management level that I'm working with them to implement. A lot of that is education for how do you speak to an employee that is returning to work. Understanding the sensitivities that there may be some emotional overlay components that were not that are not obvious, but certainly they're at risk. And in terms of other employees, absolutely. When I do on-site training for employees, often it may be physical based in terms of back education. That's a very common thing that's been around for many years, but always to include that this can happen to all of us. And again, it will affect us in that whole person, that no one is immune to that. There's no...
You can't hide from it. When you're part of a team,
that's right.
There's an effect.
Exactly.
So how does someone find themselves sort of coming into or in enlisting your services? Is it through a referral process, or how does that work?
A variety of ways. Because I work privately, then my services are paid either by insurance or by the employer or by the individuals themselves. And so people can self-refer. You don't require to have a doctor's referral or a referral by another healthcare provider. And as such, often employers will consult directly and say, I've got someone who's returning to work. I have a list of restrictions from the doctor. I have no idea what to do. They don't understand what our job is. And so the occupational therapist is actually the only one that will go out to analyze the job. And again, not just from the physical perspective, but very much we do a cognitive demands analysis, which includes behavioral, those psychological, psychosocial requirements in addition to physical requirements.
So in some situations, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds as though you're an advocate. In one situation, you may in fact be playing advocate for employee and employer in exactly the same situation. You're almost that liaison and that intermediary to reintegrate and to make that relationship work following some sort of injury.
Yes, and that's actually well put. And so it's a matter of bringing all the stakeholders together. So when someone's returning to work, you involve all the stakeholders. And so you're the healthcare provider that comes out to the work site. And so then if there's information that you wrote restrictions, if there's other additional information that we need to find because perhaps there's some other underlying problem, i.e. a mental health problem that hasn't been diagnosed, that's what I'm able to assess that and determine that. So again, to bring all that into play.
Because sometimes all I've got is that note from the doctor. Well, this is what my doctor says. I can't work for 6 more weeks.
Well,
and then what? You know, there's all sorts of ambiguity there, right? And we know for ourselves, Brett, you hate being sick. Mm. When you're sick and you're at home, I'm the same way. It's like, it's halfway through the day. It's like, all you can think about is how you're letting everybody else down. So there's also some benefit in knowing that your employer and that you and yourself, that you're all on the same page, and that pressure is whatever the plan dictates.
Exactly. And the goal is the same for everyone, is for the individual that sustained an injury or illness to be able to return to their previous job and to do as much as they can safely. And it's always a matter of it being safe and sustainable. And the goal is the same. And so it's a matter of bringing those stakeholders together and putting those implementations in place. And it takes a lot of negotiation because, again, I have to understand that I'm on someone else's territory, their turf. So learning to understand each work has its own culture and its own environment. And so understanding the work environment and what are the requirements and just what the tone of that environment is and be able to negotiate within that.
Lorraine Mischuk is an occupational therapist and the CEO / managing clinician at Maximize Human Capabilities, which is on Concordia Avenue. Talking to Lorraine because October is National Occupational Therapy Month, and we're going to continue our conversation with Lorraine coming up after your forecast. It's Brett McGarry and Greg Mackling on 680 CJOB.
680 CJOB.